We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Now, I'm just going to warn you now, for everybody online and everybody in church, I'm going to be preaching on authority issues. So I just want to warn you, if you have a problem, if you have authority issues, you may want to leave now. Like, you may want to just get off the link and just go, I just suddenly got a migraine, because I want to really talk today out of the book of Samuel and about authority issues and show you the difference between a lot of people call, you know, personality conflicts versus principle conflict. I want to show you in Scripture the danger of being led by your own feelings and thoughts rather than being led by the wisdom of the Word of God. I know you're going to enjoy the message, and I know it's going to speak to us today. I'm excited. I've been having this message up my sleeve for about 6 weeks in its preparation and thoughts and bringing it together. It came out of the study of David, but when I was looking at David, you got to consider culture context, what precedes it. And so I looked at that, and that's when I really started reading up about Samuel. And then I thought, oh my gosh, I have to preach now on Samuel. But I am making a promise before I pray that as of the next series, because we've done two series now, Old Testament, the next series is going to be on the New Testament, and it's going to be on the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to really lean into all of that. It's going to be powerful. Are you ready to pray? Would you stretch your hand out? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom that comes from your word. And Lord, I thank you. Your word says that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Your ways are higher than our ways. And I pray today you help us think higher thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can be seated. We're going to get straight into it. So we talked 2 weeks ago. By the way, Sharon preached last Sunday. How many thought Sharon did a great job? Absolutely outstanding job. And she's holding Lachlan this morning, and I'm very jealous. And but we talked about, if you'll remember, we talked about Elkanah had two wives, and he had a wife called Peninnah and a wife called Hannah. Hannah had no children. Peninnah had several. She was just pumping babies out left, right, and center. She was making life hell for Hannah because Hannah had no children. And Peninnah was jealous because Elkanah loved Hannah more than he did her, even though she was the one producing the offspring. So she would make an issue of making going to worship very painful for Hannah. It was then she attacked Hannah the most. So what should have been a place of joy and celebration, being in the house of God, was the source of a pain. And yet she kept going to church. You with me here? She wasn't going to hate the haters. Even Eli the priest was pretty bad. Eli thought she was drunk, and she says, no, I'm praying for a child. So can you imagine going to church, and somebody at church is making life miserable for you, reminding you of your barrenness, and you would think, why bother even going to church? But she didn't stop going to church. And then when she comes, the priest is getting on her, accusing her of doing something she's not guilty of. And then not only that, but the priest was bad, but the priest's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. I always get confused. I can't remember Hophni's name because I always think about Phinehas and Ferb. And I have to really be intentional to remember Hophni. These men were ungodly priests, sons of Eli. They were sleeping with the women who were working at the entrance and treating the Lord's temple with contempt. And then on top of that, Hannah makes a promise to God, you give me a child and I'll give him to you. So she, Hannah, knowing Eli is a spiritually asleep priest, his sons are corrupt, says to God, you give me a child, I'll give the child to you. And she ends up giving Samuel, after he's weaned, to Eli, a crooked, bad priest. Because she never gave him to the priest, she gave him to God. We learn a principle there about our giving and our first fruits. So that was the first week I did, just to remind you. Let's go. You ready for this? Be honest with me now. How many of you have ever had an authority issue with somebody in authority? Who's ever run into an argument with a boss, maybe in your marriage? Anybody? Can I see your hands? Okay, everybody online, give me a thumbs up as well. In the campuses, I mean, maybe it's at work or, you know, there's a lot of places you can. I remember one time I ran into a TSA person that I really had a real issue with. I just was like, sorry, you can't talk to me like that. I am a human being. But I realized they had all the authority. You with me here? maybe with a policeman. You can get as lip and attitudinal as you want, but they have the authority in that moment. Are you hearing me? And so, you know, maybe in a marriage. Let's look at a few scriptures, shall we? Because here's the first thought I want to give you. And it's a simple thought, but it's not difficult. When you find God's chain of command, get under it. Whenever and wherever you find God's chain of command, you need to get under it. Thank you for the underwhelming response. How many agree if you find God's chain of command, you need to get under it? Okay? All right, so that's a good start. If that's too hard for you, it's only going to get worse. Okay? So let's look at Ephesians 5. It says, wives, submit to your husbands, listen to this, as you do to the Lord. And that's a really good thought. And it goes, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, we can stop right there, but a half-truth is a whole lie. Okay? So it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In other words, men, if you're loving your wife like Jesus did the church, that you'd be willing to lay down your life for her, there is not a woman I know that wouldn't gladly submit to somebody who was loving you like that. Amen? And so in marriage, we find God's chain of command. You with me here? Okay, let's look at it in the context of family. Okay, Ephesians 6, verse 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Remember, the thought is this, as we're starting, when you find God's chain of command, get under it. Okay? So here the Bible's saying, kids, do as you're told. Obey your parents. And all the parents said, amen. You know, the 9 o'clock service, they said loud amen. But when I asked for people to say amen to the family one, husband and wife, I couldn't get anybody to say amen. Isn't that funny? Okay, now let's talk about work. Let's talk about your job, for instance. Maybe you, who's ever had a problem with your boss? Anybody? All right. Now, there are so many scriptures I could have pulled out. Honestly, 30. I counted them. 30 Bible references, New Testament, that refer to the concept of being submissive to your boss, even if he's not a Christian. Okay? So I just pulled this one out because I think it's good. Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work heartily. In other words, put your heart in your work. As for the Lord, not for men. In other words, you don't work for your boss, you work for God. Amen? Knowing that from the Lord you will receive, not from your boss, but from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. I have never worked for man. I've always worked for God. I've never lost a job. I've changed employers, but I've never lost a job. I work for God. Amen. Okay. Now let's put it in church context. It says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. Who's ever had a run-in with somebody in church? Anybody? Okay. No one's daring to lift your hand. Okay. All right, close your eyes, bow your heads. Who's ever had and they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this, watch this, so their work will be a joy and not a burden. Watch, for that would be of no benefit to you. The only person that loses when we do not submit to leaders is us. Amen? Okay. So God is a God of authority, and God places people in our lives, catch it, for peace. Are you catching it? Now, let's go down this road for a minute. Are you ready? Government. Politics. With an up-and-coming election. Yeah, let's go there. Okay? Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, unless, of course, they're not of your persuasion. No, that doesn't say that, does it? Let everyone be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established, and the authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. Are you with me here? Let me explain to you. Wherever you find God's chain of command, get under it. And I am personally disgusted. And I wouldn't say this. I would say this rather if it was President Trump or President Barack Obama. When we see our president, the president of the United States has COVID, and people say, I hope you die from it. Listen to what the Bible says. For rulers do not hold terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the one, free from fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one who's in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For the rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, Republican or Democrat, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Can we just talk about it? Can we talk about people who've got authority issues? We live in a culture where people resent and resist authority. Amen. And let's talk about social, just decisions that you and I make. Maybe your child was on a sports team and you felt like the coach wasn't giving your child enough playing time. Okay? Maybe it's a boss, or maybe it's a police, maybe it's the TSA, maybe it's as a parent, the teacher of your child. And in marriage, Sharon and I, we're different, yet we submit to each other. We also understand the husband has been given the mantle of leadership. Even the Trinity understands authority. The Bible tells me that God the Father is the head of the God of the Trinity. That Jesus says, I do nothing unless the Father tells me. That the Holy Spirit listens in on conversations to the Father and the Son and makes known to us not what He wants, but what they want. Okay? So when you find God's chain of command, can anybody say, get under it? Amen. All right, so we're going to look at an exchange between Saul and Samuel, and I want to show you what this looks like. And somebody, here we go, someone take my phone. Somebody very sweetly has called me 5 times, and it's coming up on my iPad. It's somebody from another country, and it's a friend of mine, praise the Lord. So the problem is I can't read my notes. So last week, I spoke on Samuel, 2 weeks ago, talked about all that. And now Samuel and Saul are going to have an exchange. And it can be easily, listen to me, misunderstood if you just spoke to Saul as it being a personality, excuse me, conflict with Samuel. Or if you speak to Samuel, Samuel might cause you, and you could speak with Saul's side, you can be on Samuel's side, depending on who you listen to first, as to what whose side you choose. But there's more than personality conflicts. There's a principle of leadership. Are you hearing me? All right, so this is what it looks like. Saul was under the authority of Samuel, and Samuel was under the authority of God. Would you agree with that? Okay, and Saul was told by Samuel, you can't go to battle until I come after 7 days and make sacrifices. Everybody understand it? Let me give you some Bible verses just to make sure it's really clear. 1 Samuel 10:1. Then Samuel took the flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed you ruler over this inheritance? So we see Samuel, under the authority of God, anoint Saul to have authority to be king. But Saul is under the authority of Samuel, and Samuel is under the authority of God. Do we see that? Okay, watch this now. They're in a place called Mishmash, 1 Samuel 13. He waited 7 days because he was told that he wasn't to do anything until, actually, come down to verse 8. Go down ahead of me to Gilgal, and I will surely come down to you and sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, but you must wait. Here is Samuel talking to King Saul. He's the king of all Israel, but Saul is under the authority of Samuel. But you must wait 7 days until I come, your authority, because I am under the authority of God. And he goes, and when I come, I'll then tell you what you are to do. Who's in charge? Samuel. Amen? Okay, come down now. Let's look at verse 8. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel didn't come to Gilgal. And Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, bring me the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings. And Saul offered up the burnt offering, and that's the very thing Samuel told him not to do. Everybody understand? Okay. And Saul, it says, just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived. Isn't that amazing how that works? Okay. And Samuel arrived and he said, what have you done? It's never good when your leader starts with what have you done? Okay. And he said, what have you done? Samuel asked. And Saul replied, when I saw, everybody say, I saw. Come on, everybody online, I want you to just say it. I saw. Every campus, come on, ready? 1, 2, 3. I saw. Put down your coffee online. Hey, hello, come back. Listen. Okay, here we go. When I saw, say, I saw that the men were scattering, that you did not come. Isn't it amazing? He's blaming Samuel. When you didn't come, I love that, at the set time, you were late, and the Philistines were assembling in Mishmash, I thought, every say, I thought. Every campus, say, I saw. Every say, I thought. Are you seeing it? When I saw, when I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me in Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor, I felt. Everybody say, I fell. Say, I saw, I thought, I felt. I saw, I thought, I felt. Compelled to offer the burnt offering. You have done a foolish thing, Samuel said. You have not kept the command of the Lord, the Lord your God gave you. And if you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. Let me break it down for you. Ready? Saul didn't want to wait. He didn't want to wait 7 days, but he did. But then even then, Samuel was late. And so he just decides he's going to take the mantle of this leadership that is not his and take it upon himself. He doesn't want any more. Saul does it himself. And now Samuel turns up and says, what have you done? I saw visually. He was led with his senses. He says, I thought mentally. He goes, I felt. He was led by his emotions. I saw, I thought, I felt. And if that is not a picture of today's generation, I don't know what is. And we can allow our interpretation of being obedient to authority all depending on how we see, how we think, and how we feel. But when you find God's chain of authority, you get under it in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. I don't feel like training today. I don't feel like going to work. I think this, but the boss thinks that. I don't feel in love with my wife today. We are led and make way too many decisions on our own feelings and our own emotions and our own thoughts and how we see things. Come on, somebody. All right, now watch this. Here's the last thought. Number one, when you find God's chain of command, get under it. Listen, number two, it's a simple thought. Listen to it carefully. I want to make sure. When you find God's chain of command, you get under it. Number two, don't trust your feelings. Trust God-given authority. Can you say amen? All right, you ready for this? Just put on your seatbelt. You all ready for this? You all ready for this? Y'all ready for this? Okay, one more time. Let's look at the sheep. Let's look at Samuel and Saul. Is this a personality conflict or is this Saul disobeying a direct command? You ready for it? By the way, let's talk about this in our tithes. Well, I don't think I need to. I don't feel. I don't see enough money in my bank account. Amen? When the pastor asked all of our volunteers who are serving in our lobby to wear masks. Right. And we're asking people to have their temperature checked if you're going to work in the children's area. You with me here? Well, I don't feel like I need to. Just get under God's chain. I don't care what you think. Well, who says the government? Well, after all, let's question the government. Do we need to read that scripture again? Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Oh, okay. All right. Here we go. very quiet. Okay, one more time. Look at the sheep. Amalekites, 1 Samuel 15, verse 1. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you. So Samuel's reminding Saul, I'm over you. You got it? I'm under God's authority. The Lord sent me. Everybody got that? So now listen to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites, totally destroy them and all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put them to death. Men, women, children, infant, cattle, sheep, camels, donkeys. What is God saying? Total annihilation. Okay, come down to verse 7. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur to the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Now, what's wrong with that statement? What did Samuel just tell him to do? Don't spare anybody. But he keeps the king alive. Why did he keep the king alive? Well, it says, but all the people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag, watch, and the best of the sheep and the cattle and the fat calves and the lambs and everything that was good. These, they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Anybody see where this is going to go? Come down to verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, I regret that I made Saul king because he's turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was angry. He cried out to the Lord all night. Watch, early in the morning, Samuel got up and went down to meet Saul. But he was told, Saul's gone down the Carmel. What's he doing in Carmel? He's not supposed to be in Carmel. And there he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down the Gilgal. Let me just break it down for you, church. Saul was a people pleaser. Saul didn't wipe out the Amalekites. Saul was 95% obedient and 5% short. And we live in a culture where we would say that's okay. Come on, somebody. He kept the king and the livestock alive. Samuel gets up and meets with him, and Saul isn't even where he's supposed to be, but Saul is building a monument to himself. See me, notice me, want to get to know me. That's enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me? Give me. My name's Jimmy. Take. My name's Jake. I'm going to build a monument to myself. And I got to tell you, church, some of us today set up monuments to ourselves. Your Facebook, your Instagram, your social media is your monument. To disagree with God's given chain of command and disrespect and cause conversations of division that say, unless you agree with me, here's my monument. And if you don't come and agree to my monument, you can't be my friend. And church, you may ask me, how long am I going to keep on talking to you about social media? Long enough until I see you've changed. We have got Christians calling out other Christians, sowing discord and division in the body of Christ. And I'm going to keep saying it. Stop building a monument to your own opinion of what you see, what you think, and what you feel, but get under God's chain of command. The Bible says there are 16 the Lord hates and the seventh is an abomination to him. And let me tell you what the seventh is. He or she who sows discord among the brethren. Stop building a monument to what you see, what you think, and what you feel. Come on, somebody, give God a hand. Show me somebody with authority issues and I'll show you someone with a pride issue. Amen. Samuel says when he meets Saul, Saul, sup? Saul goes, Sam, how you doing, man? I did everything the Lord told me to do. Bah. What's the sound of the bleating of sheep? Some of us kind of feel like 90% is good enough. 95%. I want to tell you, come on, let's be people who don't struggle on this subject. Let's be people. We'll answer to God for what God's called us to do. And the people who are in leadership that we're called to be under, God, they'll answer to God for what they've done. All we can do is do what the Lord's called us to do. That's a place of it. Now, there are some decisions you have. You can say, well, you know what? I'm in this job and I have this boss. And I want to find another job because I don't want to be under the authority. You have that choice. But if you keep repeating that and you find every boss you've ever had has been of a jerk and a loser, the only common denominator is you, and maybe God's trying to teach you something. If you're a young girl and you're thinking, who am I going to marry? I want to tell you something. You got a choice before you marry, but once you marry him, it's for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. Amen. Sickness and health till death do us part. Yeah. So you got a choice before you marry if you really want to come under that authority. Right. Yeah. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Even in church life, to some extent, you got a choice. Mm-hmm. You can choose to be here in Wave Church and come under the authority and leadership of Wave Church, or you can find another church. Yeah. You with me here? Yeah. But I find people who keep going from one church to the other, usually the only common denominator is them. Right. Yeah. And I just think we got to learn to land this well in Jesus' name. Yeah. Can you say amen?
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.